12 seconds. And on Sunday, the west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, northwest swell of 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. And for current temperatures, I've got Monterey at 53 degrees. It's 55 in Salinas. Watsonville's at 54. And we're at 58 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, let's see here. We've got, there's a traffic hazard that was reported at 958, and that is on Soquel Drive at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. And it looks like there's some ducks on the road, so watch out for that. If you see something out there, give me a call at 475-1080, and I will let everyone know. And let's see here. The official time is 10:06 and 49 seconds on this Saturday, May 7th. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. MZ is out, but we've got Mike Rotkin, and he will be filling in for today. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hi. Good morning. This is the Saturday special. Mike C. is not with us this morning. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz. I'm sitting in. And today's show, we're going to be talking about Osama bin Laden. I'm sure you've got thoughts about it. It's burning up conversations all over the country, all over the world probably. And I'd like you to have a chance to call in with your ideas about this question. I have a lot of different issues. I'll be bringing them up as soon as we get back into the show. Good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here. It's 10:08, and this is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz. I'm sitting in for Michael Z on this Saturday special. Michael's otherwise occupied, apparently. And I thought today it would be a really good topic to get you going here, talk a little bit about Osama bin Laden. It's bound to be controversial. And I thought maybe the way to get things going would be to prompt you with a little bit of thought from, of all people, Michael Moore, the filmmaker, who made the observation, I just read this yesterday, that basically his argument is that we set out and assassinated Osama bin Laden. And his argument is, you know, not that this guy, he doesn't support this guy. He's happy to see this guy go, et cetera. Certainly a view I would share, and I'm sure most of my listeners here. But he raises the question, you know, when we had some of the worst career criminals in world history, Adolf Hitler, for example, the people that led the Nazi regime in World War II, we brought them before trial in Nuremberg, and the argument being it's the American way, that basically we believe in due process. Now, I don't think anybody believes we got the wrong guy here, that Osama bin Laden was some innocent that we stumbled on, or that we got. He certainly took open responsibility with al-Qaeda for the destruction of the Twin Towers and the 3,000 people that died there. But the question is not whether he did it or whether he's the right guy, but going through the due process of actually having a trial, making the case. It wouldn't be a hard case to make in this situation because he self-confessed to it a number of times in public statements and on videos and elsewhere. But nonetheless, the idea that a person should have a trial, that we should go through the process, there should be a formal sentencing. Now, it may be the case that the SEALs who went into that compound in Pakistan didn't really have much of an option. We don't know the real details here. They're still up in the air. There's a lot of sort of pieces of information coming to us, but not enough to really know what's the truth is. But let's assume that if they had no choice, if they were fired upon, if they had to defend their own lives, we don't want to certainly wouldn't have liked to see one of these SEALs die in an attempt to bring someone before trial if that was not a feasible option. But I think Michael Moore's point was that, look, it appeared to him, and I don't know what special information he has, that basically the SEALs went in with the information that they should kill this guy. We should drop him off in the middle of the ocean somewhere where nobody could find him so we wouldn't have a martyr's grave site. And then they had the plan right from the beginning that this guy should be taken out rather than captured and brought formally before a trial. Again, if Eichmann, Adolf Eichmann, could be brought for a trial, one of the butchers of Holocaust camps in Europe during World War II. If we could be bringing the leaders of the German Nazi Party before a trial rather than just shooting them summarily on sight or something, it raises this question. It also, I think we could look at broader issues about American foreign policy. Is the idea of an America that sort of has the power, obviously, to go after anybody anywhere in the world, is that the sort of posture that we would like to project of the United States as opposed to a country that basically tries to follow the rule of law, uses things. Now, again, I don't think anybody wants to argue that they shouldn't have gone to extraordinary means to capture Osama bin Laden. I think that's been pretty clear ever since the Twin Towers went down, that was a reasonable objective, and that you're not going to get him by sort of issuing a warrant, let's say, from the United Nations or the World Court. So this is not a question of whether they should have gone to extraordinary means in a police action, in effect, to go capture the guy, but whether there might be a larger issue about how America presents itself to the world. And certainly a large part of our view about these questions is that the United States benefits tremendously from the image that we are a country of laws, that we're not a despotic country, that we don't simply summarily execute people here. Again, I'm going to take calls in just a moment, but if you get lined up, I'll take you in the order that you come in. I'm happy to have any views, whether you agree with me, disagree with me completely. You'll set me straight, I'm sure, if I'm wrong about this. But let me just spend a couple more moments here setting this up clearly. I think that the whole question of whether it's appropriate for us to use the power that we have to go around the world in other countries, other sovereign countries, finding the leaders and picking them out and assassinating them, whether that's an appropriate role for the United States to be involved in. Again, we're fighting a different kind of an enemy here. In World War II, you could capture the country of Germany and basically be in a position, you know exactly who you were fighting. The Nazis had a ground base in a particular country. We attacked that country. We formally declared a war against them. We fought them to a defeat, and at which point we then were able to bring their leaders to trial. The same with Japan after World War II. But this is a little bit different in terms of the nature of a war, and we're fighting a terrorist enemy that doesn't necessarily have a clear base in any one place. They could be anywhere. And so different kinds of means might be necessary to go after an enemy like that. And so I'm sure you have views on that as well. So, again, I'm not trying to bias this discussion. I really want to I'm giving you some views I think might spark your response, your anger even, whatever. But I'd be very interested in knowing, hearing rational arguments for, you know, what you feel. I think perhaps that this was justified, that this was important, that this makes that we should not be allowing these kinds of things to go on. Just to sort of balance the introduction a little bit, another argument that could be made is that we are certainly sending a message to the next people who might like to be the leaders of Al-Qaeda. If you want to step up, in fact, we're already apparently going after the number two guy in Yemen. If you want to be the leader of one of these terrorist organizations, you're not safe anywhere. And basically, we're going to come after you. And because we can't approach this as a declared war against a particular territorial area, a country or something, this is our only really option if we're going to try and respond to these kinds of criminal activities, like killing 3,000 people with an attack at the World Trade Center. So I'm going to start taking some calls. My first caller is, and I'm new to this board here, so it might take me a while. Let me, first of all, I'll give you the number so others can call in as well. The call to call in here, it's KSCO 479-1080. Again, 479-1080. Give us your calls. I'm going to take a first call from Jeff, who's from Santa Cruz. Jeff, if I do this right, you'll be talking to me in a moment. Jeff, you're on the air. Okay, I made it wrong right off the bat. Jeff, you're on the air now.
All right, cool.
Great.
Hey, I thought it was kind of ironic that Michael Moore has anything to say about the death of Osama bin Laden, period, because, I mean, wasn't it Michael Moore's premise in 9/11 Fahrenheit that the whole World Trade Center and all that attack was an inside job and that we're responsible for it? And if he makes that case in the movie, then anything that happens to Osama bin Laden thereafter is just murder, and that's it's just a hit, because his premise that we were in on this Am I mistaken? I don't know.
I think having read some other stuff by Michael Moore, you're right about his possible at least raising questions about the what happened at the World Trade Center. But I think even Michael Moore understands that Al-Qaeda is in fact a terrorist organization. They have in fact attacked American interests. And in the article that I read, he wasn't making the argument that we got the wrong guy or that the guy was innocent or that he had nothing to do with the World Trade Center attack. This was much more a question about American. He was arguing American values and the importance of bringing someone, even if he had done it, like Osama bin Laden, to trial, present the evidence, which I think is pretty strong myself, and then actually go through a formal trial. What do you think about that issue, about whether that's worth it or whether we should the SEALs did the right thing? We don't know what their exact orders were when they went in, but let's assume that they were sent to go get him and kill him on site.
In my opinion, the day that the World Trade Centers fell, the towers fell, that changed our lives, and it divided this country to a point that it's at right now. And had that never happened, I don't think we would have any of the stuff that we have going on, or even a president like Obama. And I think that Osama bin Laden deserved to die, and I could care less what the Muslim world thinks about it. He dropped a tower in our country. He killed 3,000 people, and if anybody does that anywhere in the world, they deserve to die, period. Anything else doesn't even matter.
Well, let me ask a question if I could. Let's assume we would agree with your argument that this guy deserved to die. Let's ask the question about what's the long-term impact, not in terms of what happens specifically with Al-Qaeda, but the idea of whether do you believe that this is like an effective deterrent, or that to some degree we're now constructing a bunch of little Obamas all over the world as they see the United States as this horrible place that just goes and attacks people? What are your views on that kind of an argument?
They already see us like that, and I don't see it like that. This is my idea: peace through strength. If you drop a skyscraper in my country, you will pay for it, and when you pay for it, everyone else around you will know that they're not going to fly a plane through a building in my country, because I'll drop them just like I dropped you. And if you try to pacify people like this, you just get run over. We're being run over. It's a joke. And peace, minus strength through peace. I'm the biggest, baddest guy on the block, and if you mess with me, I'll knock you down, period. And anything else, I mean, look, otherwise, what do you get? You get people flying planes. You got people climbing over borders. You got people totally neglecting the laws of our country, and I just don't believe that.
Okay, well, I think you expressed your views really clearly. Let me ask you, if I could, one last question.
Sure.
I wonder to what extent you think that our president, President Obama, deserves tremendous credit then. He's having been successful in having done this. I know a lot of, I'm not asking about your views on his other politics and what you think about those, but on this particular question, you think that he did a good job here and deserves some credit at least for having done this in this case.
Absolutely. I think he deserves some credit. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a supporter of Barack Obama. I don't think that he necessarily had anything to do with the actual planning and assassination of Osama bin Laden, but the fact that he didn't try to stop it, I admire it, and I'll be honest with you. I think that Obama is a little bit afraid of his own people in the left on this deal, because he's afraid to just say we just straight up killed this guy. They want to come out with all these situations and stories and scenarios that might appease the left, because they're worried about the left. The right doesn't care. You got the guy, and I don't really care. But I don't think that Obama necessarily deserves credit for the actual killing of him. I don't believe that. I'm glad that it happened, and I'm not dogging him at all, but these people have basically argued every single policy that led to this killing all the way up until the point that he was dead. And so I think Obama fears the left more than the right on this one, because the left is the one that says you can't run around and shoot people in foreign countries and do all this stuff that we just did.
Actually, I'd say the left's fairly divided on this question these days, but in general, I think it's more likely to be the left taking that position than the right. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
So our next caller we're going to take is from Richard from Pacific Grove, and if I do this right, I'm going to get him on. Richard, you're on the air.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to waste much of your time, because your last caller made most of my points.
Okay.
I think it's a specious argument. I think Michael Moore, regardless of what this country does, is going to come up with something, how nasty we are. And I think you're misreading people throughout the world. I really do. I think people understand strength, and they understand that we look like a fool, the fact that this guy survived that long, and the fact that we were incapable of handling him. People understand strength. This isn't Germany. This isn't the same. This isn't Weimar Republic. These are people that are millions of them, thousands of them, whatever, that want to see the destruction of the United States. There's no comparison at all. You know, how far you want to go back? Attila the Hun? You know, this is silly that we're... Do you actually think that this is the first time that people have been assassinated? What about Pablo Escobar in Colombia?
No, I'm not naive about what's happened. I'm raising the question of what people think our policy should be about these issues. And again, I want you to have a chance to express your view. I think the American people in general have questions about, you know, the issue of what the impact is. I mean, for one thing, just to be clear, this is my view. The administration, I think, does the right thing when they balance this. This was a bad guy. We had to go get him. We went and got him, as we had every right to do under international law and so forth. But I don't think they want to go out of their way to sort of put a stick in the eye of other people, say, look, come on, bring on your terrorist attacks on us in retaliation. I think we want to try as much as possible to take the high road and argue that we were doing the right moral thing here rather than just trying to, like, you know, make people angry at us. I don't think there's much percentage in that. So,
you know, I don't really actually care about those people being angry. I'm 63 years old. They've been angry at me since I was born. I mean, I've been seeing them beating themselves on the head and yelling about us. I'm sick and tired of them. I'm glad that the United States finally took a stance and said, we're going to get this guy and knock it off. And if there's any more out there threatening us, we're going to blow you up, we're going to do this, and we stand now like the ineffectual rules, pussies, this just discourages them. You know, you live in Santa Cruz, you live in Santa Cruz, and you're watching your whole downtown deteriorate because of a handful of people going around and begging to people and stuff, and you just keep saying, well, it's okay, it's okay. People are sick and tired of this, Mr. Rutkin. We've got gang problems in this state. People are sick and tired of it. We want strong leadership. And personally, I think Obama deserves some credit, but I think in things years to come, we're going to find out that he did everything he could to keep the mission from going on. And he did it at the last minute when they said, hey, we got
to
do it.
Well, I think that remains to be seen since when he appointed, he appointed Leon Panetta, the head of our former Congress member here, as head of the CIA. Panetta's first comment was, our first job, number one, is to go get Osama bin Laden, and they were successful at doing it. Certainly, let's say compared, if I can be a little partisan here, compared to Bush, who turned away from that effort, started a war in Iraq, and basically left the war in Afghanistan as a second priority.
Democratic Congress went to war. At any time, the Democrats could have said, I know you like to. You threw that in, and that's not really. If you're going to get into that discussion, we'll have it later. But
I just brought it up because you. I brought it up because you did.
They could have stopped it at any time, and they didn't do it.
Okay, good point.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else, Richard?
No, that's it. That's it. I think congratulations, and let's not demean this. This is something that had to be done. I think a lot of people feel better for it, and for people that don't understand that this stuff is being done every day, they've got to wake up to the real world.
Thanks for sharing your views. You're very clear about them.
Thank you.
Okay, again, the phone number to call in if you'd like to join this conversation. I will try and get us really focus a lot on the calls here rather than my opinion. I'm really interested in what people think about this issue. 479-1080. This is KSCO. This is the Saturday special show, usually run by Michael Z, but this is Mike Rotkin, the former mayor of Santa Cruz, just sitting in for today. I want to thank our last caller. And now our next on the line we have, if I've got this right, Bill on the road. Bill, here we go. And let me just say others, just so you know who's next. I've got Idol, Richard, and Michael waiting for us. But let's get Bill on the road. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to point out one of the first comments that Panetta made after the assassination was made public, and he said that this is a culmination of 7 years of work. So, assuming that he passed elementary school mathematics, that means that this was a joint operation, you might say, of the two administrations.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You can't say that Bush dropped the ball. I mean, they've been searching for this guy for years. But I am glad that I'm not a Barack Obama fan either.
Uh-huh, that's fine. Go on.
And I'm one of those people who keeps saying Osama when I'm trying to say Obama and vice versa. So forgive me if I say that. I'm not a Barack Obama fan. Uh-huh. But I'm very grateful that he green-lighted this operation and that Osama bin Laden is fish food.
Bill, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, thanks for your thoughts on that. Anything else you'd like to add before you go? All right, thanks for calling in. Next we have Larry, who's also on the road. Larry, give us a call. Here we go. Larry, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Larry?
Good. I'm, you know, I always love these fascinating discussions, and I think the only thing that I can contribute is that I have a very distant connection to what's going on from the standpoint of our homeland security. I just happen to know some people that are in the military that really devote their lives to keeping us safe. And I can say honestly that if we didn't have a concerted effort going on every day to take care of clandestine operations, they, whoever you want to call they, would have exploded a nuclear device at your house yesterday if they could have.
Right. Well, it might have affected my house. I doubt they would have picked my house as the target. I'm not that important, but your point well taken.
Yeah, as long as you get the point, we just need to realize that we have a dedicated community of people who sacrifice family, friends, career, and they put themselves on the line every day to take care of things, take care of business in a way that we never hear about. So this one little isolated Osama bin Laden episode is merely a media device to further divide our country. But I congratulate those people that are in the community every day who dedicate their lives to keep us safe from an evil force. And I truly believe that, and I thank them for it. And I don't ever need to hear about it or debate it.
All righty. Well, thanks very much for your call in. Let me just add my own comment to that, Larry's comment there on the road. I don't think there's any rational person out there that doesn't appreciate the sacrifice being made by our military personnel and their families. They are not responsible. If you don't like the foreign policy, and sometimes I don't, I certainly never make the mistake of blaming the soldiers that are out there putting their lives on the line. They don't choose the political targets. That's done by other folks. We're going to come back on this topic. Richard's going to be next when we come back from Watsonville. Actually, that was Richard I was just talking to. No, Richard's next from Watsonville. He's been waiting patiently. Then Michael from Soquel. And then one more caller after that. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be back shortly on this topic. And please get your comments ready, because we're going to broaden it out to questions about foreign policy, this issue about strength-based foreign policy. Is that the best way for us to be going? Thanks for your calls in. This is KSCO 1080.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
My name is Patrick Boyle. I am the wine buyer and front-end manager. Just over 10 years as a wine buyer. Champagne is a great idea for Mother's Day. If you're having brunch, we have a great selection. Different price ranges from $5.99 to $14.99 and everything in between. I recommend the Mum. We have Mum at a really good price. It is about $14.99. We have the Rosé, the Brut, and the Prestige. I would suggest the Mums. The Mums champagne is outstanding. It goes good as a mimosa or just by itself. Always available. I'm here 5 days a week, full time. If you have any questions, feel free to track me down and we'll talk wine shop.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
When you get hungry for the real food prepared by your friends and neighbors at Eric's Deli Cafe. At Eric's Deli Cafe, the soup is always on, the sandwiches always have character, and the service is always prompt and courteous. Get hungry for the fast, fresh, and delicious food you will always find at your local Eric's Deli Cafe. For the best food around, visit one of Eric's 28 locations. And for more information about our great menu, our many locations, our catering service, or anything else you might want to know about Eric's Deli Cafe, go to our website. It's www.eriksdelicafe.com. Eric'sDeliCafe.com. Fast, fresh, delicious, and local. Eric's Deli Cafe, a proud sponsor of San Jose Sharks playoff hockey. Bring in Memorial Day weekend with style.
Come fly with me. Fly.
At the third annual Come Fly With Me Spring Gala benefiting Children's Hospice and Palliative Care Coalition. Margaritas, dancing, music, and a live auction all come together for a glorious evening of fun and fashion on Saturday, May 28th at the Seascape Resort in Aptos. For tickets, call 831-763-3070 or visit childrenshospice.org. Listen to Good Morning Monterey Bay for your chance to win San Jose Sharks playoff tickets.
Brought to you in part by Play It Again Sports. When you go out to play, save lots of money and have just as much fun when you play it again with the quality pre-owned sports gear you'll find every day at family-owned and operated Play It Again Sports on Soquel Drive and Soquel Village. It's new and used sporting goods at Play It Again Sports.
Proud sponsor of the San Jose Sharks.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Good morning. This is Mike Rotkin, the former mayor of Santa Cruz, sitting in for Michael Z on the Saturday special. Today's topic is about Osama bin Laden and the fact that the United States government took him out. Opening up to questions about this. The call number, I want to focus on calls this morning, is 479-1080. That's again, 479-1080. And we'll take our callers in order. And we're trying to raise the question about a number of issues that have been raised by earlier speakers, whether a U.S. foreign policy of peace through strength is the way to go, whether having the image of the United States as a country that is a country based on law, and whether we should have held a trial, if possible. We don't know whether it was even possible, but were it possible to bring Osama bin Laden to trial rather than, for example, summarily executing him, if that were the case, and we don't know whether that was a tactical decision or one that they were sent in with from the beginning. Our next caller here is Richard, who's been very patient in Watsonville. And Richard, I want to put you on the air now. Richard, your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. First of all, I think that Pakistan has a problem, a credibility problem.
Yes.
I don't know about trials or anything. I mean, these military people were sent in to do a job. So when they're sent in to do a job, I don't know about this trial stuff. You guys may want to play around with trials like Nuremberg, but you never did really finish the job because I don't remember any emperor of Japan going on trial. Do you?
They
didn't put him on trial. Cut it out, Mike.
No, actually, in
Japan. They had to go to Korea. It was so important.
No, actually, I can tell you, MacArthur actually held, there were trials held in Japan for the military leaders.
No, I'm talking about the emperor of Japan. Nothing ever happened to any of those guys, you know.
Right, well, I think he was basically like putting the Queen of England on trial. The emperor of Japan's not the decision maker in that country. He wasn't then, certainly not now. I mean, the argument, and again, The argument here, let me be clear, the argument is not that we should, you know, not wait, try and bring him in with a warrant or something, whatever. I mean, clearly the military did what was necessary to get the guy.
Who killed more people than anybody else on this planet, Mike?
Who do you think? I don't know.
Chairman Mao did. What? Nobody ever said squat about that man. He killed more people on this planet than anybody. The thing about it is that Pakistan, like I said, has a credibility problem.
Sure, go ahead.
And their credibility problem is that, you know, they either did or did not know that man was there.
Uh-huh.
Now, that makes no difference to me. What matters to me is the nuclear part of it. And they have a lot of access to nuclear power.
Right. Nuclear weapons,
and
you're talking about. Nuclear weapons, you mean, not nuclear power. Nuclear weapons.
We could put the lights out right now, but we're not going to do anything. I think what we're going to do is let the real enemy of Pakistan have at them. And that's India. And they've got nuclear capability, right?
Yeah, so what you're suggesting is that they should have a nuclear duel and we should sit by and watch that happen?
I think WikiLeaks is going to let it happen. A lot of this is due to WikiLeaks. And the United States is made up of everybody from this planet, Mike. So we're going to be the policemen, whether you guys like it or not. And you know, we have somebody that speaks every language in this planet, in this country.
Yes, that's
so. So we represent this planet, and as long as there's a problem out there, you can see they've already taken care of Al-Qaeda number two. I guess they blew him up yesterday. But the thing is you know what Al-Qaeda means, right? The word Al-Qaeda?
No, I don't, actually.
It means the base.
Okay.
And Taliban means a group of students.
Right, that I knew.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of education going to be given out here in the near future, Mike, like we've seen recently. So you can say what happened really started last. They can say it started 7 years ago, yeah, when George Bush said wanted dead or alive. But this thing was premeditated with Osama bin Laden in August. And I believe Barack Obama is the one that said that. It started in August. So that's when he became the site, you know, the focus of the military. And they went in and just did a job. And I think that job the military did was to show us whether they needed the Army or not. Now, that Black Hawk helicopter went down. The Chinook helicopter did not go down. What does that tell you? Get rid of the Black Hawk helicopters, right?
I think it's the technology.
They keep going down. This whole thing was a test and an experiment and all that other stuff combined in one, Michael. Thank you for letting me spill my guts here.
Oh, I appreciate your calling in, Richard. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. Next, we're going to go to Michael in Soquel. Michael, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience and waiting so long.
Not a problem at all. I really appreciate your attempt to forward focus the discussion. The past is the past, and we cannot change it. The important question is, what are the set of principles that we are going to use to guide these kinds of activities in the future? I think on a compass, there's 360 degrees. 180 degrees are directionally incorrect, and 180 degrees are directionally correct.
So we don't have to be exactly on point, but we shouldn't be going backwards.
Correct.
Good point.
And I for myself personally, I felt right from the beginning that the U.S. was not thinking of the other fellow first, was not thinking of the peoples that have been driven to these extremes in a way that it manifested itself in the outward messages that were being delivered. The messages to me seemed rather draconian, shoot to kill, rather than voicing some degree of understanding of the situation of these people that are driven by fear to ignore, go along with, support, whatever it may be. Some obviously even try to oppose these oppressive regimes that are clearly directionally incorrect. And I feel that's where the dialogue needs to come from. So it's a very, to me, it is a very important question for the U.S.
Go ahead.
That's it. And the leadership image that we present.
Well, thank you. You made a very cogent point, I think. Let me ask you, as one of the, on behalf of, say, one of our earlier callers who took the position that we get peace through strength. Your argument, of course, is that we have to also look at the sort of causes of what goes wrong and try and address those in some way, if I understand you correctly. Please stop me if I don't have it right. But how would you respond to his argument that if we don't, at least in these kind of extreme cases, take decisive action, showing that we're not going to let people, you know, kill 3,000 Americans and then just, you know, not respond in some way pretty directly, that people will start to think that we're weak, soft, unable to defend ourselves, and therefore will sort of encourage an additional argument. So this is the argument that at least some use of violence, some direct assaults on clear enemies like Osama bin Laden, I think certainly would meet that definition, that without that, people will perceive us as weak, and therefore we'll have more people attacking us rather than fewer. How would you respond to that argument?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't agree with the premise that we are engaged in a war. Terrorism, to me, doesn't strike me as having the attributes of what we normally think of as war, where orders from a commander to shoot to kill an enemy are justified and acceptable under conventions of war.
Yes.
Here, I think with great strength comes great responsibility. And it is acceptable that we took action against someone that was clearly presenting a threat to us. I think we're arguing about the methods involved. And I'm looking at all that thinking to myself, we can't undo it. You can't call the bullet back. The past is the past. What surprises me is, after the act, what was the dial? How was it presented? It was presented basically as a shoot-to-kill order, rather than we made every reasonable attempt to take this person
right
into custody.
I think there's actually a bunch of confusion about that. I mean, I've read every piece of media I can get my hands on, and this is still a little premature to make the find. It's not really clear were they sent clearly with an order to, you know, just shoot him when you find him, as opposed to, you know, make some attempt to bring him in and then perhaps tactical questions. The first attempt to explain the tactical stuff, he was reaching for a weapon, his wife had a weapon, turns out not to necessarily be the case. So it goes back to this other argument of whether they were sent off with their orders right from the beginning. Once you find him, just get rid of him and dump him at sea. And your argument that would, if that were the policy, we're not sure. I guess we're not really sure if that were the policy. You don't think that's necessarily the way to approach this?
I think the message has not been clear, and I think one has to look to the administration for that and say, you know, learn from this. It's a learning moment. They should have been point on, very clear, right at the initial speech. This was the way we conducted ourselves. It might appear we did not respect the sovereignty of
Pakistan,
but here is why we had to go to this extreme. We did make every attempt to do this in the following method. We were not able to. Bin Laden was shot. We did this and buried him at sea for these reasons. But maybe they were very clear. I never know on these things because so many voices jump in and then.
Sure.
And with instant media.
And 24-hour coverage.
Yeah. You don't really know what the truth is. So I go, well, let's not worry about bin Laden. He's gone. Let's take the conversation forward in that 180 degrees that's that way,
right,
where we want to go. And let's make some decisions. How do we want these things to be conducted in the future? Because if we think of the other countries and we think of the other fellows, there's no doubt the U.S. is one of the most powerful countries on Earth. What are these other country leaders now thinking?
Right.
They're sitting there at night processing all this, going, oh, my God, you know. Let's see. First there was this guy, and then Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden, and now they're after Gaddafi. And what does it mean to me? What does it mean to my sovereignty? I think that's really an important question.
Michael, I really appreciate your calling in and sharing your thoughts. They were very helpful to our discussion, I think. And thanks again for calling in.
Thank you for leading the discussion. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, before I go to my next caller, this is KSCO 1080. And you can call us in this morning. We'd love to have your voice on this question. We're looking at the broad issue of whether a foreign policy that depends upon assassinating terrorists such as Osama bin Laden is the way to go. Whether there's, as our last caller suggested, perhaps we need a different approach to our foreign policy, that we need to look at the question of what's happening to the people that causes them to be so completely crazed that they will blow themselves up in order to get at the United States to attack us in this way. Those of you who are out there may have different views on this question. One of our earlier callers suggested that the peace through strength is the real secret. But again, our last caller is suggesting even if you after you do occasionally take police actions in a strong way against individuals, as we did against Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, that we ought to balance that at least with something that addresses this long-term issue of what's causing people in the third world to hate us so as much as they do. I don't think it's simply because of our strength. I think there's a foreign policy that's had an impact on supporting often regimes that are very repressive. Certainly the people who went down in the Twin Towers attack and the planes were people from countries where they were very repressed and had no real prospects for a future. And I think that's one of the ways Al-Qaeda is so successful in its recruitment of young people who are willing to blow themselves up. We've got several callers lined up. I'm next going to take, again, the number if you want to join this list. And it's not that long a list. You can get on it and you'll have a chance to talk to us this morning. KSCO, call us at 479-1080. Our next caller is Billy Sunshine. Billy, you're on the air, Billy. Billy, you there?
Yeah, good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
So I'm here to sing the praises of assassination.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, it's simple. I believe that that moral quality is necessary, and that when you're after a guy, a single guy like bin Laden, or when Bush, you know, wanted to get Saddam for personal reasons involving his daddy, or Gaddafi, say, the idea that we make war on a country and kill women and children during the shock and awe period and after that. And, you know, war brings just incredible hardship to a country. Iraq is not better off for what we did to it. In fact, we were the terrorists in that case. Assassination is a clean way of getting a job done. It's an honest way of getting a job done. And it's certainly got way higher moral quality than sloppily declaring war on somebody. Now, I believe we have a law against assassination, actually. Do we?
Yes, they're actually the President of the United States has the authority in certain very limited circumstances to declare these kinds of things. And even that's arguable. Not everybody believes that that's the case, but there certainly have been legal arguments put forward that he has that right. But go ahead with your
point. So my question to you is, do you agree with me that assassination is the way to go once we've decided that, let's say we want to move Gaddafi, that, you know, indiscriminately having to kill all the soldiers and everybody that's, you know, collateral damage near them is immoral, sloppy, and worse than aborting fetuses, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Well, there's two arguments against the point you're making. When I'm done, I'll certainly share my views on this. But just, you know, first of all, assassinations have become a slippery slope. Okay, we can all agree. I think not all agree, perhaps, but the vast majority of us will agree that Osama bin Laden was a reasonable target for assassination, given what he was responsible for.
And by the way, what future he would be responsible for? The one thing about assassinating him is now you don't have the desire to grab a couple of plane loads of people to trade for him while we're trying him.
There's always that argument. Let's get into that a little bit too. But on this point. And so the question becomes, well, obviously his lieutenants need to go as well, and then there's the people beyond that. And at what point do you find yourself perhaps slipping into a place where you're not getting an obvious target, not necessarily even getting the person that's really responsible for what you think they're responsible for?
Well, hang on. Just let me respond real quick to that.
Go ahead. Take your time.
And that is, well, sure, maybe you'll go too far and start assassinating people you shouldn't. Still less death than war. You see what I mean?
Yes. No, I get your points clear. Let me put it in a different way, which is what I believe about this. I'm not clear exactly how you deal with, and there are many I'll just being honest, it's very, very complex when you start to think about going into another sovereign country and those sorts of issues. But what's clear to me is your main point is one I completely agree with. This is a police action. Someone committed a major, major crime, I mean, on a world scale, crime, serious crime, and deserves to pay the penalty for having done it. There's no question about that. This is not a matter of coddling somebody or thinking it wasn't so bad, or we should have a trial because, you know, he deserves the trial. The point about trials, of course, is that we deserve them. If we, you know, the public of our country, we deserve to have that kind of a place to live and that kind of a.
But what we don't do is drop a bomb on a neighborhood when we're trying to.
And I think that's the point. And clearly, I think the clearest example of where that goes wrong, it's not, it's my view strongly, and others may disagree with me, was deciding to go to war against Iraq, which had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with all the arguments for the war with Iraq, but the idea that we were retaliating for the Twin Towers was ridiculous because they had nothing to do with it. The idea that they were harboring terrorists from Al-Qaeda, I mean, it doesn't make any sense because religiously, when Saddam Hussein was in control, it was a Sunni-run country, and the Shias were his enemies, sworn enemies in both directions, and on his border, a country that's dominated by those enemies and stuff. So he had absolutely no interest.
And he didn't have nuclear weapons, and they did know it. They were lying about that.
Right, and I just actually saw it. It was a great movie. If you haven't seen it, oh my gosh, now I'm going to forget the name of it. Sean Penn's in it. It was about the Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame affair. And I just saw the movie on TV.
That's right. They did commit treason when they outed an officer of our CIA.
What they said was they violated some law, and Scooter Libby got a 2.5 years sentence. And I'll give Bush a little bit of credit. He didn't pardon him. I thought he was going to pardon him the next week.
But he did what he needed to do, which was give him the safety so he wouldn't testify you're supposed to in every other criminal trial
in
the world.
Sure. Then, of course, they might have reached up to the vice president or to Rove or somebody, or even the president for that matter. But so on your main point, I'm totally in agreement. It's like we often, because terrorism is not a territorial held base, it doesn't make sense to declare war in a particular country to go get the terrorists. There needs to be some way to find to target them. And I think it also, in order to sort of make this work in a way effectively, it requires that you have some international sanction for it as well. So I would actually, if it were, you know, the way I would sort of look at these kinds of things is go to the world court, try and find a way to find the indictment at least against the people that you're going after, name them for their crimes, bring the evidence there, at least maybe not the full trial because they're not available yet to hold for trial. But an indictment is certainly, you can do an absentia, and you basically indict these people for the crimes they've been involved in, and then try and find some kind of police action. And then we're up to the issue
exactly.
of what kind of police action, where is an assassination an issue. Let me raise my second point with you before we get to our next caller. And the second point's an important one, I think. When we're involved in this idea that we could go after the evil people and assassinate them, if what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Absolutely.
There are many people across the
world.
That's
why we have that law, isn't it? We don't want someone to assassinate our president.
That's the point that I'm making. And so on some level, the issue starts to become, if you sort of do this on the basis of the United States has decided who our enemies are.
However.
And who we're going to pick to us. Let me finish my point.
Okay,
I'll let you back in. But, you know, we're going to decide who the bad people are, and we're going to go after them as a country, the United States, using our covert forces. Well, you do open up at least the argument that those who have a different worldview, even if it's obnoxious to us and unacceptable, that they start to make the argument, well, what's wrong with assassinating the president of this country because he's the one that's directing the military that's doing things. And we can certainly pick examples around the world where people would have a righteous grievance against the United States for what we've done.
Absolutely.
So, however, what is the argument against?
But it's a bad argument, and I'll tell you why.
Please, I'm ready
because
to hear.
Because I don't believe that the president's life is worth, you know, 3,000 or 10,000 Americans' life. I think he's another American in that sense. So I'm saying to you that, look, it's just about whether you're going to kill mass numbers of people or very few numbers of people. And by having that law to protect our president, we're saying we prefer war to assassination. And to make that statement is of no moral quality whatsoever. And I want to quickly say something about the right wing and the Republicans for just a second, and that is, had Bush done this, had Bush not abandoned, imagine Obama, if he had said what Bush said, I don't think about Osama, I'm not really interested.
I don't know where he is and I don't care right now.
Yeah, can you imagine what we would hear from that, as opposed to what we're hearing today, which is, thank God for Bush and torture, or we never would have gotten him.
Right. Well, I have to say that I don't want to blame everyone on the right, because I have to say, honestly, I've heard some very strong right-wing force individuals who have actually spoken up and given full credit to the Obama administration and not tried to slip praise for George Bush into the equation. So it's not every right-wing person that has that view.
No, of course not.
Many people have been quite responsible.
Whenever I speak, the 80-20 rule is always in effect.
That's a good rule to follow, I guess. But you're right. I think in general, I think there are a lot of people on the right that are totally confounded now, because they think this was just fantastic. They love this. They think it was wonderful that Osama bin Laden got assassinated, but they can't stomach the idea of giving our president any credit for anything he's done, because he's the enemy on some level for them almost. In fact, some of them, and this is the extreme ones, of course, have the view that there's no difference between our president and al-Qaeda, and they're very, very disturbed individuals from my point of view. But again, I want to be clear that there's a wide spectrum on this issue on the right, I think, and many people have been quite responsible about at least giving credit for the president doing what they wanted him to do.
Thanks for your work on the library board, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much.
But I must say, there should be no elected politicians on the library board. It should all be citizen members. Politicians ruin everything.
Okay, well, fair enough. I never thought of myself as a politician, because I had no interest in higher office.
You're better than most, Mike.
I'll use the word, I'll modify it. I'm a community politician, perhaps not quite as evil as the majority. There we are. Thank you very much for your call. I'm going to take the next caller here in just a moment. We're getting close to the top of the hour. That was Billy Sunshine. Next, we're going to have Robert from Santa Cruz. And I'll take him in here quick, make sure we get him before the time goes up in the hour. Robert, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hi, Robert. I'm doing well. And yourself?
No, not too bad. Hey, this just amounts to nothing more than tribal warfare. I mean, basically, it's you did something to me, I'm going to do something to you. And, you know, it's basically cloaked under anti-terrorism, you know? And, you know, the worst mass murderers in recent history viewed the world that way. So take the Nazis, for instance. They weren't carrying out terrorism. They were carrying out counterterrorism, because there was terrorism, because there was partisanship. And they named a group of people to be those terrorists. And that was, you know, those people that they murdered.
Right.
And they defended themselves all across the world. And it's not necessarily the point of view. It's the mechanics in which you're applying that point of view. And that's the danger here.
So your argument is that it's all right to have sort of negative views about other groups. You just shouldn't be going out and killing them on a mass basis, if I understand your point.
Well, I think that, first of all, they went in and they murdered them in right where they stood. And I think that they're taking their bodies and dumping them at sea was sort of a slap in the face to the families and everything else that actually loved the people. And now you have to understand, they're a human being, and I'm sure there's a lot of hatred for Osama bin Laden here in the United States. But he wasn't the only one. He was just the most popular, probably the most eloquently spoken. And the United States was bent on cutting off the head of the body.
Right. Well, one factor.
That's all this thing happened. I mean, he was accused. It was there. I mean, weeks and weeks of most intensive intelligence research went on a prima facie case. And that's pretty much where they ended up. Back
right.
Where they started, with a prima facie case.
Right. Well, it's often people forget that with Osama bin Laden, he's partly a creature of our foreign policy. We basically funded him, propped him up, and helped create al-Qaeda in our attempt to stop, during the Cold War, to stop the Russians when they were bogged down in Afghanistan.
Right. I mean,
But in the end, I think the vast majority of people would agree. He certainly self-confessed responsibility for a really horrific act. That's not in question, I don't think.
We're not even getting to that. The point is that what's supposed to separate us from the Nazis in the beginning is that we recognize people as being human beings.
Yes.
Not bullseyes. And so that's why those courts were conducted. And you can say you don't care about them unless you're in that spot. You know? And so this can be easily turned on. I mean, you're talking about a population of people that are much greater than the United States.
Yeah, we're about 5 to 6% of the world population at this point.
You know, and so, you know, we might have a lot of weapons, we might have a lot of bombs, or we could kill a lot of people. But you know what? In the end, where's it going to get you?
All right. Well, I appreciate your calling in. thanks for your thoughtful contributions to this conversation.
Yeah, I hope you have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, next, before I get the next caller, let me let you know the number if you want to join this list. We're going to take a break here pretty shortly. We're getting to the top of the hour. But if you want to call us in, it's 479-1080. Again, 479-1080. And this is the Saturday special. Mike Z is out of town and not even available, apparently, by online, which is often how he gets to us here. This is Mike Rotkin. I'm the former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz, or a former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz. And I'm sitting in for Michael. And our topic today is about Osama bin Laden, the whole issue of U.S. foreign policy, the question of how we approached this issue. People have raised issues about assassination, the issue of police actions or assassinations versus wars. We have questions about whether those SEALs, when they were sent in, with an order to shoot to kill, or as opposed to had a tactical necessity to do so as they tried to pick him up. And the question was there any attempt to arrest him for trial, as was the case in the Nuremberg trials? I started this whole show today by talking about Michael Moore's comment that if we could hold the Nazi Germany leaders up for trial, why not Osama bin Laden? We're at the top of the hour. This is KSCO 1080. We'll be back for further discussion right after the break.
KSCO Santa Cruz, and we join Fox News, already in progress.
Shot dead near a seaside city in Syria, adding to the nearly 800 already killed in anti-government protests.
The army moved into Deraa, had a 10-day operation, arrested a lot of people, killed a lot of people, and the activists say a lot of people were tortured, then thrown back into the streets to recount their tales of horror to try and put the frighteners on anybody else coming out. Then they've pulled out of Deraa, and we haven't seen the really big demonstrations in Deraa. Now the army has moved on to Banias, and it appears that this is now being repeated.
Sky News' Tim Marshall in nearby Beirut in Libya. Witnesses saying that Muammar Gaddafi's forces have bombed the main fuel depot in Misrata. The western city has been under siege for 2 months and is held by rebels. Amnesty International says Gaddafi's forces may have committed war crimes in the area. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This commentary is in my book. I wrote it on 2/20/2003. Political correctness emerged in the late 1960s as the brainchild of the academic left born of emotion. That's to say, feelings, not facts, not reality. It was decided by the left that to be politically correct, one must no longer use the word handicapped. Instead, that word was replaced by the words physically challenged. Nothing really changed. The handicapped person was still handicapped and probably came to terms with that situation a long time ago. Anyhow, the word challenged came into vogue, and any condition remotely negative or sad became hyphenated, followed by the word challenged. About 5 years ago, a local high school accustomed to honoring the student graduating with the highest grades by naming that person the valedictorian had to withdraw that traditional singular honor because 11 students had the same grade average. Had the administrators factored in other individual accomplishments, one student would have stood out front, but rather than hurt anyone's feelings that year, there were 11 valedictorians. So much for the joy of achievement. Likewise, in the 1960s, UCSC initiated a pass-fail grading system to replace letter grades, primarily because it was more compassionate for students who were unable to attain A's and B's. The pursuit of excellence was no longer rewarded. In fact, it was disdained. In the name of feelings, there came a settling for mediocrity. Political correctness heralded the dumbing down of our educational system. Competing has become politically incorrect. Students are no longer expected to be high achievers. Everybody's comfort level must be equal. Nobody must have hurt feelings. Nobody except maybe the innocent victims of affirmative action. The best and the brightest had to defer to the less able. Many brilliant students have been locked out of medical schools, law schools, dental schools, etc. There must be a way to implement affirmative action without punishing those with the most potential. The feelings of everyone affected should be considered. Because of political correctness, children are not being properly disciplined, not at home and not at school, because that might stifle creativity. Parents were admonished to avoid saying no or do not to their kid for fear that those restrictions might damage Junior's psyche. Feelings have replaced discipline and common sense. Children are being cheated out of having parameters. As a result, respect for parents and teachers has eroded. In some schools, teachers are being cursed, assaulted, and in extreme cases, some have even been raped by students. Because of political correctness, many parents have abdicated their roles as guiding influences, and instead they have opted to be their kids' buddies. Not all parents, only those who have allowed themselves to be seduced by the misguided notion of political correctness. So, if the shoe fits, wear it. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Mostly sunny today, high of 67. The west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be cloudy, low of 50, with the west northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 62. West northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots, increasing 10 to 20 this afternoon. Wind waves will be 2 to 4 feet, a northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. And tonight, west winds 10 to 20 knots, the wind waves 2 to 4 feet, and a northwest swell of 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. Tomorrow out there, west winds 5 to 15 knots, the wind waves 1 to 3 feet, northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. As far as current temperatures go, I've got Salinas at 58 degrees, it's 55 in Watsonville. And in Monterey, it's 54 degrees. We are at 63 already here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Let's see here. I've got your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update. A few things to report here. There's a disabled vehicle on Highway 17 just north of Summit Road. And that's on the other side of the hill. On this side of the hill, let's see, we've got traffic collision happened at 10:18, and this is on Highway 129 just west of southbound 101. Looks like CHP is on the scene there. It's a two-vehicle crash. Another collision on southbound 101 just south of La Gloria Road, and CHP is on the scene. Two vehicles involved there as well. And a traffic collision just reported a few minutes ago, southbound 101 just south of Red Barn. CHP is on the scene. Not much information right now for that one. And a traffic hazard on northbound 1 just south of Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Those ducks again. A mother duck was hit by a vehicle. The baby ducks are now in the roadway, so CHP is on the way there to control that situation. So really heads up on that. Let's not kill any ducks out there. All right, the official time is 11:08 and 33 seconds on this Saturday, May 7th. Up next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Good morning. This is Saturday Special. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz, sitting in for Michael Z, who's not available. And this morning our topic is dealing with the question of Osama bin Laden and his, let's call it assassination, or at least his being taken out, and a number of different views. I do have some folks who have been very patient on the line. I am going to get to them for sure. I have Phil from Santa Cruz, Mark from Monterey, and Don from Carmel. If you want to join us on this discussion, the phone number is 479-1080. Again, 479-1080, and this is the Saturday special. Today, I'm trying to get people to share your views, because there are lots of different perspectives on this question of whether you think that the United States went about this in the right way, if you think this is a good sort of model for how we should deal with terrorism in general, the idea of assassinations, perhaps versus having wars with people where so many more innocent bystanders get caught up in the situation. Whether we don't know whether that team was sent out there basically with instructions to shoot to kill, or whether the tactical necessity made that the only choice that they really had. It's a little early to sort of prejudge that question. And also generally looking at the U.S. foreign policy, whether a policy, as one of our callers suggested, peace through strength is the way to approach this issue, or whether we need to be spending more attention looking at what exactly it is that makes people so angry at us that they'll blow themselves up or fly a plane and kill themselves into the World Trade Center. So at this point, we're looking for public opinion on this question. I'd like to have you share your views, whatever they are, on anywhere on this whole spectrum, on any of these related kinds of issues. I think it's a pretty broad topic, but please try and stick to it, at least as it exists. So next we're going to have Phil from Santa Cruz. Phil, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Phil.
There are a lot of folks that have expressed concern about the fact that Osama wasn't given a chance for a fair trial. And I kind of understand that concern, but I'd like to refocus and refresh people's memory a little bit, something they should be far more concerned about.
Okay, go ahead.
And that is back during the early days of the Clinton administration, when Janet Reno was the secretary of the Attorney General.
Right.
And both houses of Congress were still majority Democrat, that 80 plus people, mostly children, were slaughtered in the Branch Davidian complex by government forces, mostly ATF and FBI.
Right.
And they hadn't killed anyone. And they were never even really given a chance to surrender. The government kept the media at arm's length, and we don't know what really came down, but I've heard all kinds of stories about people running out with their hands up, being shot, running out of the burning building.
Uh-huh.
And these people were never given a chance for a trial. And analysis after the fact seems to indicate that had they been given a trial, they would have been found innocent. This, I think, is far more disturbing than what happened with Osama on foreign soil in a hostile environment by a few military people that really didn't have a lot of options and certainly didn't have a lot of time.
Sure.
They were about 1,000 yards down the road from their West Point. And at that point, they weren't sure who was on their side. So these other people, they had plenty of time. They ended up using tanks with flamethrowers on them. So I'm still aghast at why Janet Reno is free. She may be dead by now. I don't know, but why?
I believe she's still around. She's still with us, I think.
Is she? I know she had Parkinson's.
Right, but I believe she's still alive.
But what happened there? Why didn't we have a trial of those people that did that? That was far more, and it was on our own soil with our own people who hadn't really committed any serious crime.
So, I mean, this would be one more sort of stroke in the slippery slope argument, that if once you sort of accept the idea that it's possible to do assassinations, that you might end up doing it in places where it clearly, in this case, you believe it was, and I would share your views, inappropriate way to respond to a situation.
Yeah, I think that incident was a lot further down the slope than the one that we're debating now.
I don't think anyone would argue with you about that. Even people that thought there was maybe no choice would still argue that this is a little bit different than that situation. But I do appreciate your sharing your views on the matter.
Okie doke.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Next, we're going to hear from Mark in Monterey. Mark, you are on the air.
Boy, I have to take a knee. That first hour was big.
I appreciate your patience in waiting. You waited quite a long while on the line there.
Yeah, let me just offer a few observations.
Please do.
You know, I'm not a professor of any form of education. I'm not a graduate of any institute of higher learning. I'm just a regular person.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, what we're doing here is one of the many things that Mr. Bin Laden did not like. And there's a lot of organizations throughout this country should appreciate his demise. For example, we're enjoying right now a free culture. We are enjoying a democracy. We're exercising the right to freedom of speech, something he did not like.
Yes.
If you're a member of the gay community, you should be glad he's gone because he did not like gays. If you are a feminist, you would be glad he's gone because he likes suppressing women's and culture. They cannot vote. They cannot be educated. They cannot even frequently move around in society, like go shopping or anything else.
Or go out in public, right?
Okay. So we should appreciate this country that we live in and the ability to speak like this. Even if you're Michael Moore, I saw him on Piers Morgan the other night and exercised his right of free speech. And of course he enforced my belief that he's an idiot.
That's one of the risks of free speech.
Yeah, it really is. But once again, that's, you know, this is something that we should appreciate, the country that we live in. We're able to do things like that.
Right.
But once again, I go back to, this culture that we live in is multi-featured, which is something he would not appreciate.
Right.
The freedom of speech, would he not appreciate.
Freedom of religion, certainly not.
And the values of personal preference, as I laid out with the gay community and women's rights. But more importantly, the thing that people should remember, Mr. Bin Laden did not represent a state. He wasn't a president. He wasn't a governor. He wasn't even a steward of a community like a city or a county. He basically was an international outlaw. And to have him removed the way he was is highly justified. Now, if you want to redefine the language about assassination and murder to conveniently defend your position, you're welcome to do that because that's part of the freedom of speech thing. But here, and final thought I have to leave with you and everybody else, and Richard in Watsonville, I hope you're listening. Richard in Watsonville is a frequent caller and a loyal listener to your station. He served this country. He lives with the wounds of his dedication. Richard and everyone else listening, remember, Mr. Bin Laden was a bad man. And the last thing he saw were the eyes of an American wearing a uniform representing you and I. God bless America. God bless KCO. God bless you, Richard. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Mark. Okay, our next caller, and if you want to join this list, we won't be waiting too long on the call here. It's KSCO, and where their phone number is 479-1080. This is the Saturday special. Mike Z is not available today. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of Santa Cruz, sitting in. And I'm not trying to dominate this conversation with my particular views. I'm really interested in what the spectrum of views are out there on what happened with Osama bin Laden, whether people feel that this was an appropriate response on the part of the United States, whether the foreign policy that has us what appear to be assassinations of foreign of terrorists in other sovereign countries is appropriate. The concerns about we'll call it blowback or other issues, whether the idea that once we justify that kind of action, whether that has its long-term consequences. And I'm not being disingenuous here. I really am open on these questions and sort of wonder what people's views are and what would be a rational foreign policy that doesn't, on the one hand, make us look like we're just weak and waiting for people to attack us with no consequence, or on the other hand, believe that if all we do is go around killing other people, that somehow we're going to maintain world leadership and not have other people after us as the world problem. Our next caller, whatever his views, and we're going to find out soon enough here, will be Don from Carmel. I might have lost someone. Don, you're on. Don, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Rocket.
Good morning, Don. You can call me Mike.
I just want you to know that I'm probably about as far away from you politically as possible, but I do agree with you, strange as that may sound.
That happens on issues particularly. What are your views?
I've always been a death penalty and get him type of guy. In 1993, I was involved in a car accident when I was killed. One of the ENTs that showed up was a family friend, so they kept working on me longer than they should have. And I went to a real beautiful, wonderful place. After I came back, I decided, I'm against death penalty because people that commit crimes like this, they shouldn't be allowed to go to a place like I went to. They should allow
be allowed to rot in prison. As strange as that may seem.
No, I think there are many people have made the argument that it's letting people off too light to just have them be gone rather than sort of have a long time in penance basically to think about their crimes.
Well, I don't think they should be coddled and, you know, TV and internet and interviews and everything like that. I mean, they should, right, like, put them on Alcatraz and just let them alone.
Well, it's a valid point. You know, it's interesting. One of the problems, of course, we're off on a quick tangent here, but one of the problems with death penalty generally is, aside from other issues like whether it's too final in the sense you often get the, not often, but it does happen and we get the wrong person, but the issue of whether in fact it is basically brutalizing us, turning us into our own enemies in some way. And as long as, again, people, I think, want to have confidence that certain people are not going to be let back out on the streets again. So I think the idea of life without possibility of parole is certainly one of the options to a capital punishment. But on this international level, do you think that the at this point that a trial would have made more sense to hold him up to world observation to understand what a monster this guy really was and let bring the evidence forward and then basically hold him for trial and then in this case whether we sentence him to life in prison without parole in stark circumstances or again decide that this is a case, one of the few that might warrant death penalty. What are your views on that?
Oh, I think you have a point there. Unfortunately, I think they would even get the millions and millions of dollars worth of lawyering, and, you know, he's guilty. So I think he should be put in a place like Devil's Island or Alcatraz or something like that. I know that sounds extreme, but...
No, I don't think that's that. I mean, at this point, I think people did have a feeling that there needed to be some, we were talking serious consequence for the kind of act of bringing down the Twin Towers. And that wasn't his only act. He took credit for a great number of other deaths of people and were definitely organized terrorist activities, blowing up clearly innocent civilians as a way of sending a message. And I think that deserves some serious punishment. I don't care how liberal you are. You have to feel that that's not something you sort of look the other way or think, you know, maybe we should talk about his childhood or something. Wouldn't be the point, I don't think.
Well, I'm not a Republican or anything like that. I hated George Bush and his daddy, and, you know, I'm actually a real conservative.
Uh-huh.
There's Democrats that I'd vote for, like James Traffic has,
uh-huh,
if you know who he is.
I do, actually.
But, I'm not following the Democrat-Republican line. I just think what I think.
Sure.
The fact that where I went when I was in my car accident. Now, I don't know if people like Hitler go there, but I'm just saying that it's too easy. Once you're dead, all pain and all suffering and everything is gone, and you're in a wonderful place. And I don't think that the people like Bin Laden should be allowed to get that until it's time for his end. Now, I don't think expending SEAL lives for that, you know, if they could possibly have taken him, that'd be one thing. But don't want to spend any American lives on that.
Right. That's when I mentioned that earlier. I think one of the factors you want to look at is because we don't have the information on this, whether they were sent right from the beginning with an order to basically assassinate him or whether they were, if possible. And I don't think anybody would want to argue that any one SEAL should have lost his life over trying to bring him to trial if that became the difficult question. And I'm sure this operation had to be very precise. Somebody was counting time as they were running through it. If you watch television at all, you've seen these kinds of situations. And,
Yeah.
So it may well be that it was a tactical necessity. One of our callers earlier had suggested that the responsibility really is on the Obama administration to say what it was. Did they send them out there with an order to kill, or was it a tactical necessity? And why not tell the truth about that situation?
Well, one thing I'm getting from a lot of the news and stuff is like everybody's giving Obama the credit for, oh, thank God he did this. So you're going to tell me that under George Bush there wasn't an order to kill Obama or Bin Laden?
I think a lot of people are going on George W. Bush's comments on their face value, which when he said, for whatever reason, we don't know where he is, I don't really care, he's not a priority, and we know he
isn't. No, he isn't.
I mean, for the Bush administration, he really wasn't a priority, and I think that was pretty clear. And all of Afghanistan, which they saw as the base for Al-Qaeda, whether that's correct or not at this point historically, He basically turned away from that for his own, for whatever reasons, let's say, on this show. Let's not get into a whole discussion about Iraq, but for whatever reason, turned U.S. attention towards a war in Iraq at the expense of letting go of the attempt to hunt down bin Laden in a serious way, which had been his initial commitment right after 9/11.
Well, my battery and my phone is dying, but let me leave you with one more thing.
Please have the last word. Go for it.
Remember when Obama was running, he was going to close Gitmo. He was going to take everybody out of Iraq. They'd be home in 60 days. You wouldn't think he'd be a warmonger like the people that love him now would be calling George Bush.
Right.
So it works both ways.
There's the ironies of history. Don, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Okay. If you'd like to join us in this conversation, you can call us. We've got a little time till the half past the hour break, a couple minutes. This topic is, we're talking about Osama bin Laden, foreign policy, the whole issue of how we approach dealing with terrorism in general. This is KSCO 1080. If you want to join this conversation, there's not that many people ahead of you. I got only one person on the line here. It looks like RC from Aptos. I think I'll have you on in just a moment. But before we get to RC, again, call us in at 479-1080 if you'd like to join this conversation. I'm really interested in getting a broad spectrum of views about these questions. Clearly, people are talking about this all the time. Everywhere I walk around in town, in the restaurant or any place else, this is what people are talking about. Let's share your views with a broader audience. This is your chance on KSCO Saturday morning show. So I'm going to turn here quickly. You got to have to make some fairly quick comments because we do have to go to the break. RC from Aptos. RC, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going today, Mike?
It's going well. What a beautiful day we have here today, actually.
I haven't been outside yet.
You ought to get out there, especially on the warm side of the bay here. It's just beautiful.
I'm embarrassed to say that. About the assassination of bin Laden.
Yes.
Number one, I would take the SEALs at their word. He put up a resistance. They didn't have time for resistance, so they had to take him out. Now, if that was the case, if they were charged with his assassination, it should be remembered. I don't know if anybody remembers this. I don't know if this has been brought up. But President Obama campaigned on hunting down terrorists and killing them. I don't know if anybody ever remembered that. But he told us ahead of time that this is what they were going to do. They never said that they were going to hunt down terrorists and bring them to trial.
Right.
The campaign slogan was always hunt down terrorists and kill them. So this discussion is kind of taking place after the fact. And as far as our foreign policy go, our foreign policy is the same. We're going to run our foreign policy the same way we run our national budget. And that's horribly. The foreign policy in this country, just the same way that we approach our budget, is handled by political consultants. It's not handled by experts.
Uh-huh.
They're just going to follow the same type of... I mean, why would they do it any different? Why would they run foreign policy any differently than they do our budget? Everything is looked at with a political slant. Everything is looked at with a political edge.
And the sense of what the impact would be on the voters, you're saying?
Exactly. There's an old formula that you take the country to war, and the people rally behind the leader.
Sure,
we're going to continue to do that unless, heaven forbid, we reform our politics.
Yeah, there was a cartoon this morning in one of the papers showed Obama's asking, can we kill Osama bin Laden every day? Good for his poll numbers, I think.
Yeah, that no doubt it bumped up his poll numbers, and I have a prediction that he may release those photos if he needs to, right before the next election.
Oh, interesting. What are your views on releasing the photos? Because you have to give them to me quickly. We've got about 30 seconds.
I don't think they should be released, but if I were an Obama consultant, and if somebody like a Donald Trump tried to get some traction out of this, I'd wait till he brought it to a frenzied peak, and then I'd show them and cut his legs out from under him.
Sounds good. You know, Jon Stewart last night on the Daily Show said, you know, we live in a country where people think that in order to stop discussion about the birth certificate, that's why we killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, boy.
It tells you something about our priorities that might even be somebody's thought for a moment or two.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to go to our break here at the half past the hour if we're ready to do that. And, again, this is KSCO 1080. and the Saturday special.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
My name is Patrick Boyle. I am the wine buyer and front-end manager. Just over 10 years as a wine buyer. Champagne is a great idea for Mother's Day. If you're having brunch, we have a great selection. Different price ranges from $5.99 to $14.99 and everything in between. I recommend the Mum. We have Mum at a really good price. It is about $14.99. We have the Rosé, the Brut, and the Prestige. I would suggest the Mums. The Mums champagne is outstanding. It goes good as a mimosa or just by itself. Always available. I'm here 5 days a week, full time. If you have any questions, feel free to track me down and we'll talk wine shop.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
Deal, deal. Get a daily deal. Hey, Santa Cruz County, get 50 to 90% off daily deals from cruiseondailydeal.com. That's right. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals on restaurants, pizza, fast food, spas, golf, sports, sailing, fishing, kayaking, whale watching, massage, events, hotel, wine tasting, B&Bs, boutiques, activities, and much, much more. Go to cruiseondailydeal.com today and register for the deals. Win a summer at the boardwalk, as every week, cruiseondailydeal.com will draw the names of two registrants for boardwalk season passes. CruiseOnDailyDeal.com will send you 50 to 90% off deals from your local merchants. And that's real money. CruiseOnDailyDeal.com is a property of Times Publishing Group, a proud member of Think Local First, and is the only locally owned daily deal program in Santa Cruz County. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals. Register today at CruiseOnDailyDeal.com. That's C-R-U-Z-O-N Daily Deal. When you register, make sure you put KSCO after your name to be eligible for the prize. With spring in bloom and summer fast approaching, envision a great meal at the Casablanca restaurant with its great service, award-winning wine list, full bar, unparalleled cuisine, and spectacular views. Spend a memorable getaway weekend at the Casablanca Inn with its unique and individually appointed rooms, and again, those spectacular views. The Casablanca Restaurant and Inn, corner of Beach and Main in Santa Cruz. Call 831-426-9063. And don't forget Casablanca's famous Mother's Day brunch.
When you go out to play it again and save lots of money. Hello, I'm Tom Frankel, owner of Play It Again Sports in the Soquel Village. You can save lots of money and have just as much fun when you play it again with the quality new and used sporting goods at Play It Again Sports. We're family-owned and operated in just 30 minutes from Salinas, Monterey.
It's a huge sale on water sports. We've got boogie boards, wetsuits, surfboards, and everything else you could need for water sports fun.
Play It Again Sports.
Check out our fantastic savings on new and used baseball and softball gear, from bats, cleats, gloves, and protective gear to pants, socks, and more.
Play It Again Sports.
For your home gym, check out our low, low prices on treadmills, ellipticals, and over 10,000 pounds of free weights. All the great savings.
You can save lots of money and have just as much fun when you play it again with the quality new and used sporting goods at Play It Again Sports. Right in the heart of Soquel Village in downtown, with over 6,000 square feet of new and used sporting goods, we're family owned and operated. That's Play It Again Sports in the downtown Soquel Village.
Listen to Good Morning Monterey Bay for your chance to win San Jose Sharks playoff tickets.
Brought to you in part by A Tool Shed Rentals. If you use it all the time, buy it. But if you only use it once in a while, rent it from A Tool Shed Rentals, the rental place for contractors and homeowners throughout the South San Francisco and Monterey Bay areas. A Tool Shed Rentals always has the lowest out-the-door prices. A Tool Shed Rentals.
Proud sponsor of the San Jose Sharks.
Good morning. This is the Saturday special. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of Santa Cruz, sitting in for Michael Z, who's not available this morning. And our topic this morning is about Osama bin Laden, the U.S. Taking his life, the question of, which is pretty broad and open-ended, U.S. foreign policy. What do people think about this idea of strength, peace through strength, as one of our earlier callers suggested it. Let me give you the number to call in to join us. We have one caller now. I'll get to him first. He's Fred from Corralitos in just a moment. But if you want to join in the list here, you can get in pretty quickly. Not a long wait. It's 479-1080. Again, 479-1080. For any kinds of comments about this broad question, let me just, before I get Fred on the line, one of the issues that hasn't come up, at least for much discussion, is the question of these photos, the body itself, aside from the question of whether it was necessary tactically for the SEALs to assassinate to kill bin Laden based on the tactical necessity, not having much time and the conditions of the kind of being in a hostile country without their permission, or whether it was an ordered assassination from the beginning. The question of what kind of presenting the evidence of what's happened, presenting the body, presenting photos of the body, the idea to bury the body at sea, I think a pretty clear argument for not trying to bury the body somewhere on land, which would become some shrine for the terrorists of the future. But the issue of whether there at least should be photos, proof of the death, beyond the sort of DNA, which is pretty bloodless, if you like, for us. So what are your views about this whole question? Did we handle this properly? Was it done well? Would you have done differently? And more importantly, looking into the future, what should our foreign policy be about dealing with terrorism? One of our callers earlier suggested that maybe wars are not the way to go. Terrorists don't have a land-based territory, and you end up killing large numbers of innocent and unrelated civilians, whereas a targeted assassination program is at least less violent against people who are not the responsible parties. Also, earlier today, I suggested, as Michael Moore had argued, that if we could bring the leaders of Nazi Germany to trial, there's no reason we shouldn't bring anybody to trial when we can do it. Again, this is not an argument against the SEALs who may have had tactical necessity. So we're getting some callers lined up. I'm going to hear from Fred first from Corralitos. Here we go, if I got this right. Fred, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Fred, you're on the air.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
I'm just calling because, you know, I'm listening to some of the conversation here and a little bit about my background. I'm 63. I did 3 tours in Vietnam. I was Special Forces medic there, Green Beret, and plus I did 1 year as a prisoner of war with the North Vietnamese.
Well, thanks for your service. That was obviously intense.
It was. And I'm finding it strange here. I'm listening to some of these folks here, you know, talk about the issues about whether we should have killed him or not. And, you know, whether that's the case or not, he deserved to die. But my question is that we haven't presented any pictures whether he's dead or not. And we don't know whether they got him or not. And I'm concerned about whether this is just a, you know, political ploy by the Obama administration to, you know, to make him seem that he's a tough president. And I'm not sure whether he is or not, because I'm a military man, and I go with the military, and I'm not sure whether we got him or not. And we don't see any pictures of we don't see any pictures of his death or anything like that. Not that I want to see gruesome pictures, because I've seen enough of that in my combat tours. I don't see anything yet presented that this person is dead, you know, and that's my concern here. And I think this is political so far as President Obama here.
Well, I have to say, Fred, I think if it were purely political, the timing wasn't great. They'd wait closer to the election to pull something like this off. And I'd be interested in your comment, but... And again, I don't know. I don't want to represent that I've got any inside information here. I certainly don't. But I think it would be very stupid, stupider than Obama is and his administration, to claim that they had killed Osama bin Laden when if they hadn't, because that, boy, would that blow up in their face. So I'm pretty confident that we probably have that he was, in fact, killed. But your point is you'd like to see the real evidence of it and make it clear. How would you respond to the people that would say, you know, of course there's going to be some retaliation, or at least attempts at retaliation, no matter what the heck we do, but that if you're showing the pictures and sort of jumping up and down, dragging Hector by his heels behind the chariot would basically enrage people so much that we'd see a lot more retaliation and a lot more innocent people harmed. How would you respond to those arguments?
Well, I would reference those arguments to, excuse me, back to the first Iraq War, when there were American soldiers that they showed some American soldiers were shot down with a helicopter. I can't remember, but it was back in the 90s, the first Iraq War,
right,
when they were dragged through the streets with their bodies. They were tied by the ankles.
I think that was in Somalia, but it was American soldiers. It was when portrayed in the movie Black Hawk Down, but I believe that was a Somalia thing where they were dragged around.
And then that's true. They were done there in Somalia, but they were also done in Iraq, you know. And we're always the bad guys, the Americans, you know. And that's what sort of disturbs me, you know. And I'm apolitical now because I've been there, done that. I paid my dues, and I just want to, you know, maintain a low profile and stay off the radar screen. But when I hear these people talk about the Americans this, the Americans that, we've done that, we've done this, we're in a war here, and people have to understand that these people hate us. They want to kill us, you know, whether it's for religious purposes or for political purposes, for ethnic purposes, whatever the case may be, they want to do us harm.
I think there's no question that there are people out there really seriously want to do us harm. I think you're absolutely correct about that.
And you know, when you fight a war, you have to fight a war. And then there's no, you know, you have to fight it to the death. And I've been there, done that. I'm in Vietnam in 1968, after Tet Offensive, I was with the 5th Special Forces Group. I did the Phoenix program.
Uh-huh.
And the Phoenix program was super secret, CIA funded, and CIA I have no respect for. But the point is we were, you know, contracted to them. And our purpose was to go out there and to do harm to the people. And I'm not talking about the mama-sons, papa-sons, baby-sons. We were fighting the combat. And that was our job, to go out there. And we had to go out there and kill. That's the purpose of war.
Sure. And I think, well, you know, actually, let me say, one of our earlier callers made the point that once you've declared a formal war and you're actually going after an entire country and if you believe that, in fact, that we, you know, that the war is a justified one, and I think people gave certainly the example of Nazi Germany as one of those that few would argue with, that you basically have a sanction to fight, and you're ending up fighting soldiers who themselves didn't make the decisions, but nonetheless, they are representing a force that has harmed you or is threatening to harm you in a serious way, and you go after them. The argument here is that under terrorism, it's a little more difficult to figure out who exactly deserves to be targeted. Should we blow up, you know, set a nuke off on Afghanistan when most of the people in Afghanistan certainly had nothing to do with what happened in the Twin Towers?
I agree completely. I think we should start bring the troops home. You know, we've been over there long enough. Our problem is not in Afghanistan. Our problem is not in Iraq. Our problem is here in the States. We have our own problems here. It's time to bring the boys and the girls home. But I've been there, done that, and I'm saying that what those SEALs did was tremendous, because I did operations with Navy SEALs in Vietnam. I did operations with Marine Force Recons in Vietnam, and I was a Green Beret. We are the best. We will continue to be the best, but it's time to bring the folks home. But it's also time for these folks who sit here and never been there and criticized and talk about what we've done and should have done. What those SEALs did there, if they did it there, was a tremendous job under duress conditions in enemy territory.
Oh, I think most people share that view, Fred.
I hope so. But there are people who want to do us harm, but it's time to bring those folks home. We've done enough there. We've lost enough blood. Enough is enough.
Fred, thank you so much for calling and sharing your views. And again, thanks for your service.
And I appreciate that.
Next, we're going to hear from Gary, who is, and then after that, we're going to hear from Suzette in Monterey. But Gary from Live Oak, Gary, you are on the line. You're on the air. Gary, can you hear me here?
Yes, I can.
Welcome
to the
show.
He was mentioning about the Phoenix program in Vietnam, and of course we went to war there also on a fraud, which was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which was totally fictitious and ended up killing 55,000 Americans and wounding maybe another 100,000 and murdering millions of...
Not to count, but 58,000 Americans were killed in that.
Yes, uh-huh. Talking about bin Laden... there was a Steve Pazeznik, who's a Assistant Secretary of State. He served under five presidents. And back in 2002, he mentioned that bin Laden was dead. Also, the FBI, on their FBI wanted list, it says that they have no hard evidence to connect him with 9/11, but he is indicted for, you know, some of the other charges that he had. But all the propaganda coming from Panetta et al. Is to link it with 9/11, which apparently, you know, seems to be like an inside job. The other person, we're talking about Pakistan, the candidate, Bhutto, Benazir Bhutto, was assassinated in 2007. Anybody that's got a computer, they can click on and they can see that she says that bin Laden is dead. Now, if you've got a candidate and somebody that knows Pakistan as much as she did and comes out with that and then is assassinated, you know, shortly thereafter, I think that probably adds some weight to her, you know, to her position.
Well,
and then the last item.
Some evidence, some argument or some information about why we would have kept it quiet if he had in fact been assassinated as long ago as 2002?
Oh, well, Homeland Security, all the laws against Americans, the fusion centers at Santa Cruz and, you know, all these local regional entities, they're combining local police forces and highway patrol and everything else. They're basically nationalizing them. Homeland Security, the grab inside your pants, the controls, the loss of freedom. You need the 1984 Goldstein out there as a boogeyman all the time, and that's why he's been alive. They finally figured, with all the things going on now, they dethaw him or throw in another patsy in order to create this. Why would they destroy a body like that? And why would Leon Panetta, who's supposed to be so intelligent, bin Laden, if he was alive, would be the treasure trove of all time to keep alive? And if you believe that story, which I don't, but there, if you believe their story, you got a guy on dialysis. There's only one person that's firing back. I mean, the whole story, which changes day by day, which shows it's fraudulent. I think it's hard for to keep a straight face to listen to all the different people talk about these different scenarios when you go all the way back to the FBI, and they don't have hard evidence connecting them with 9/11. They do with other cases.
Right.
But again, the whole argument is 9/11, which there is just there's more holes in that than there are in this story here. Anyway, it's just a fairy tale.
Well, thanks very much for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
You bet.
That was Gary from Live Oak. Now, if you'd like to join us, I've only got one caller on the line. I'm going to hear from her in just a second. But if you'd like to join us talking anything about the issue of Osama bin Laden, our foreign policy, how we handle the question of terrorism, whether the United States should be involved with an assassination program of terrorist leaders, what are the alternatives to it, and so forth, please give us a call. The number is 479-1080. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of Santa Cruz, sitting in for Michael Z, who's not available today, on the Saturday special at KSCO 1080 on your dial. Right now we're going to hear from, sorry, I have a hard time reading this little board here, Suzette from Monterey. Please correct me if I haven't pronounced your name correctly. Is it Suzette?
Hey, Mike. Good show this morning.
Thanks.
I just wanted to echo a few things that some of the previous callers had said. Gary from Live Oak, I'm in full agreement. We don't really know that this was Osama bin Laden. There's no evidence that has been made public in any way to show that he has. The story has been changing. I mean, first we were told that the president watched this whole operation go down blow by blow. You know, there was some real political theater there.
That's sort of, is that like in Harrison Ford in the Patriot Games when they're watching on the satellite as they go into some terrorist camp?
And I mean, there was a picture on the Yahoo homepage the other day, you know, with he and Hillary and some others apparently watching in shock and horror as they watch this whole operation go down. Then Leon Panetta comes out and says, well, no, they were dark. There is no video of this. So we were lied to. I think every American is very respectful and honors the men that serve us. And I would never hold a Navy SEAL or any military person responsible for what they're ordered to do. I mean, that is their...
You're making an important distinction here. You're raising a question about our policymakers rather than the people who are putting themselves in harm's way under orders, military orders that they must follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're a Navy SEAL and you're ordered to do something, you do it. I mean, that's the whole point. And for people, I mean, that is the point of the military. That is a major component. You have to be able to trust your commanders, and your commanders have to be able to rely on their men and women. That's just the way it is. But I do think, so I have no, I mean, I honor the men and women that serve us. But my question is, who are, you know, when the President of the United States, you know, interrupts the flavor of the week challenge to his throne, if you will, in the middle of it, that, you know, that announcement came in the middle of Donald Trump's program, whatever reality show he's running lately, and comes on and keeps everyone waiting and then lies. And so whether Osama bin Laden, you know, I think one of the first rules of law is a habeas corpus, produce the body. If you claim that someone is dead, you have to produce the body. And you have to produce it to someone. It could have been done tastefully.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, we have our, you know, we're to believe that our military has had sensitivity training.
Right. Do you think it would make, I'm just thinking out loud here, honestly, but make sense perhaps if he had presented the photographic evidence to a committee of, say, the Republican, where the Republicans are in the majority in the House, in a closed session, presented or to the Senate, one of the Senate Foreign Relations Committees or something, where there are opponents of the president in the room, they get a chance to say, yes, we confirm that we saw these photographs, we saw this photographs. We find it acceptable evidence. Would that be a step at least in the right direction?
Absolutely. I would say to the whole Congress and the Supreme Court, these are people that needed to know, needed to be told and shown this in a respectful way. The way that it's been played is to the media.
Your point's really well taken. I do have a lot of callers and a lot much time left.
Let me just say one other thing.
Please do.
The common denominator between this and Waco is Hillary Clinton. And I'll let you go on that.
Well, we'll leave our listeners to think about that connection. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Okay, next we have Theodora from Santa Cruz. Theodora, you're on the line.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Hi.
And I'm in agreement with the last two callers. I missed the first half, so I don't know, you know, if you had anybody.
We had a range of views. It's been a pretty interesting discussion, actually.
Well,
much across the spectrum.
And I'm in agreement that bin Laden died long ago, and he's, you know, he's been kept out there as the boogeyman because, you know, that's easy to scare us. And, you know, you asked, well, why now? Why would they do it now? Well, just watch. We're in for a whole new bunch of, you know, security measures, you know, even beyond. We're going to see TSA and, you know, in all the rapid transit places. We're going to see them in the malls. This was an opportunity, just like, and I'm somebody who believes that 9/11 was an inside job. Bin Laden, you know, when the first things out of Bin Laden's mouth was, I didn't make this happen, but it's interesting that it has happened. Again, I believe it's, you know, forces within our government that are hell-bent on destroying, you know, our nationhood, brought that down. And after 9/11, we saw, you know, Patriot Act, a whole range of new security measures, Homeland Security introduced, and increasingly becoming a police state in America.
Well, let's say at least we could say all would probably agree somewhat repressive.
Repressive policies, and we're going to see a whole slew of them now because with the idea being that, oh, bin Laden's dead, oh, now they're going to come and get us and retaliate. So now we have to put in these measures and you have to be fingerprinted before you can shop at Walmart. Things like that. Just watch. We're going to see that. And it's all planned. It's not accidental. They know what they're doing with the timing. We're going to see more repression in America. So get ready, folks.
Okay,
that's
well,
all
actually,
I can say.
The only thing I'll say, Theodore, is I think people probably should be fingerprinted before they shop at Walmart, but that's a whole separate question.
Well,
it's a bad joke. Okay. Thanks for sharing your views. Really appreciate
bye-bye.
That. Take care. So our next caller, again, if you want to get on this list, we'll try and get everybody in as quickly as we can, but our next caller is Harold from Aptos. Harold, you're on the air.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Harold.
I'm the No Spin historian on the radio.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah. First of all, the Romans chased Hannibal for 2 years before they caught him in Turkey. And believe me, if they could have caught bin Laden by now, they would have. But look where they had to go into. There was a Pakistani armed forces nearby.
Half a mile away.
Country. So that's what the national news media that I've seen has said.
Yes.
Nearby.
No, about a half mile away is their equivalent of West Point, their major army training
And I don't blame Carter for this, because his attempt to free the hostages in Iran was even riskier. And look what happened to him. It didn't work there. So it was a big gamble. They finally caught Hannibal, and he took poison, of course, in Parthia, which is modern Turkey. And I'm trying to answer your The one thing I want to tell all your callers is they cannot tell you, they're using the word terrorist, it's a war on terrorism. As a historian, they cannot tell you that this is a war on Islam. They're trying to conquer the whole world. It started with the Prophet Muhammad going into Mecca with his religious philosophy written on animal bone and skin. And the locals in Mecca drove him out. He came back with his uncle and killed everybody in Mecca. He destroyed the Gothic Empire, went into Spain, Charlemagne, Charles Martel, destroyed the Muslim armies there. They allied with the Turks right up to World War I.
Harold, because we're short on time, let me get you to make a real clear point here at the end. Your argument, what are you arguing about, Islam? And please make it really
clear. Islam is a challenge to a democratic republic that started in Athens, was refined by Rome and Great Britain, and it's European, and they brought it over to America.
So you see this kind of a class.
You're telling the public, okay, the real answer is, you want me to tell you, I'm President Harold, that I have to destroy 1 billion Muslims, just like we destroyed the fascists. That could be the final answer, and I cannot tell you that.
Okay.
So I'll leave you there.
But you do see it as a clash of civilizations where we really need to, take this on in a direct kind of way.
A religion against a civilization. Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Harold. Okay, our next caller is going to be James from Live Oak. Please make your comments really quick now and make them pointed to really tell us what you think, because there's not a lot of time left. James, you're on the air.
Got it, Mike. Let's start with a deep breath, especially after that last call.
Okay.
there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and it's the government. Somebody is allowed to carry guns and do anything they want, and it's the government. So they have to be watched. There needs to be a body. There's a reason why someone is ordered killed, and it's because they're dangerous and they can't be brought back to public trials, because what they say would be too revealing. And there's a reason why bodies are dumped instead of saved, to prove that someone was killed and to prove that the person killed was the right one. And the reason to dump the body is because who knows who it was. It's very hard not to make accusations, but it's not that difficult. Review means we need to peer review. We need to see what's going on, and when we don't, we're no better than any fascist dictatorship on the planet, and we're slipping into it very quickly. I'll let you go to the call.
Thanks for making your point briefly and on point. Thanks. That was James out of Live Oak. Our next caller is going to be Pat from Santa Cruz. Pat, you're on the air. Please make your comment right to the point and brief.
Yes, Mike. I find it curious that the left is so bitterly disappointed with Obama. You can see on the Counterpunch website and many others where Obama is now considered to be a liar and a war criminal and so on and so on. But if we suggest that he might not be born in this country, all of a sudden we're on forbidden territory and we're racist and all that stuff, kind of a double standard there. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if he is born here or not, but I haven't seen any compelling reason to believe he is or isn't. And there's very good reason the left would want to protect him, because the left is pro-open borders. And if Obama turns out to be an anchor baby, that would be really bad for the open borders lobby. That's what's really going on here. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for calling in, Pat. Take care. All right. I'm down to one caller, and we're going to get done on time here. Our last caller is Artis from Soquel. Artis, please. Let's see. Artis, you're on the air.
I just want to say that I agree that he died earlier, because that would prove that he didn't commit the crimes against America that he's been accused of, and also because, and also I wanted a timeline for you guys. I know he was alive in July of 1998. He stood 10 yards from me. And if he did that, that means that he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that they weren't going to figure out when he died, because he, because I saw him in Kuwait in July of 1998. And I'm going further. I think he didn't commit the crimes that they said he committed against America. And as far, I wanted to make another comment. As far as the Branch Davidians,
oh, no, right, you haven't got time to get into another point, so finish up your last point.
Okay, right after Janarino got attacked, the Branch Davidians, they fought back hard, and so we still have Colts in America, and what we're asking for is your full allegiance. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Artis. All right, so we're done with the calls. I got about 25 seconds left here to speak to you. This is Mike Rotkin, former mayor of Santa Cruz. I really want to appreciate Rosemary and Michael Z inviting me in to sit in for Michael, who's not able to be on the show, the Saturday special today. It's been a really interesting discussion from my point of view. I think these are very complex and difficult questions. Again, thanks to all of my callers, and I do appreciate the chance to be on the air and share some thoughts. This is a difficult question for all of us, and anybody that tells you they've got all the answers for how we should solve these kinds of questions of dealing with terrorism, I think, has not thought deeply about how difficult a question this is. This is KSCO 1080. It's the top of the hour. It's now 12 o'clock noon. Thank you.
Fox News Radio, I'm Brett Larson. Senior Pentagon officials say the information recovered from bin Laden's compound during the raid that killed him was the single largest collection of data ever. They also said that the terror leader was using the compound as an active command and control center.
They learned that he was an operational commander up until the bitter end. They didn't tell us how they knew that, but they say that this notion that he was a figurehead who was out of touch. Don't forget, they have five telephones, mobile phones that were taken from the compound. They have a wealth of information.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin, the head of the CIA, Leon Panetta, saying that the material found in the compound confirms how important it was to go after bin Laden. There's no more threat of rain, but the people and the horses are ready for the running of the 137th Kentucky Derby. Fox Radio's Ron Flatter is live at Churchill Downs with the latest.
And Brett, we had a brief shower a couple hours ago, but it's passed. Looks like it'll be dry for post time in a little more than 3 hours. The start of the Kentucky Derby, often called a cavalry charge. 19 horses trying to find a clear path to that faraway first turn. All too easy to get caught in traffic, especially for the horse stuck in the number one position in the starting gate. Today, Arch could get hemmed in along the rail.
I've never liked number one at starting gate, but I've always wanted to be number one.
Trainer Jinx Fires had the unlucky draw, so Arch is a 13-1 long shot. Dialed in, the number eight post, still a 5-1 favorite. Brett?
Ron, thank you. Flood preparations in place along the Mississippi River ahead of anticipated record flooding. Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn toured the preparations.
The right preparations are being made. They're being made as a team, working together, and I think that that is going to serve this city and this county well.
Now the National Weather Service is predicting that flooding in some areas will actually be worse than the Great Flood of 1927. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
9,997. No.
Suppose Thomas Edison had given
9,998.
Up.
9,998.
But his failures only led him to the next idea.
9,999.
Picture Times Square, dim, Las Vegas, dark, your home, black. Picture no electric light.
10,000.
Optimism. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Judge Napolitano is on the case, policing big government, exposing bureaucrats, safeguarding your rights.
The Constitution was written to limit the government. When politicians cross that line, I'll be there.
The judge is taking the toughest issues head on. Exclusive interviews, hard-hitting investigations. The one show delivering a message straight to D.C.'s power players.
From Capitol happenings to Supreme Court surprises, we're in the middle of it all.
Catch Freedom Watch weeknights at 8 Eastern, only on Fox Business. The power to prosper.
After scrubbing the launch yesterday because of bad weather, it was a successful launch today of the Atlas V 401 unmanned rocket from Cape Canaveral.
5, 4. Atlas engine ignition, 0,
And liftoff of the United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket.
The rocket launched with the first in a new series of early warning satellites that will detect and track missile launches. Golfers said goodbye to one of their own today.
The game goes on, but it does so with a heavy heart and without one of its brightest lights. The Spanish Open was the last tournament Seve Ballesteros won. And at this year's event, the players marked his passing with a minute's silence. The swashbuckling Spaniard won five majors in a glittering career and made the world take notice of European golf.
Sky News' Enda Brandy, he died from complications of a brain tumor at the age of 54. For the entire month of April, David Kim lived his entire life for Facebook, not turning down a single friend request and going to all of the 84 events he was invited to. The project researcher James Weisinger says the events included everything from DJ nights to poetry readings.
He couldn't just say, I might attend an event. You know, he had to click, I'm attending the event, go to the event, find the host, introduce himself to the host, have a conversation, and then follow up with that person after the fact.
Kim said he ended the month with almost 1,000 friends and learned everything in moderation. Former Beatle Paul McCartney said to wed girlfriend of 4 years, Nancy Chevelle, a New York businesswoman, his third marriage. No further details were given. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, born to immigrant parents from India in Baton Rouge, has released his birth certificate. He was made the move Friday, and 9 days after President Obama released his own long-form birth certificate to further prove that he was born in the U.S., Jindal is considered by some observers as a potential candidate in the 2012 presidential race. I'm Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Looks like mostly sunny today. A few clouds here and there with a high of 67. The west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And tonight is going to be cloudy. And we're going to have, let's see, there we go. Cloudy, low around 50 degrees. The west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow we got partly cloudy, high of 62. West-northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots, increasing this afternoon 10 to 20. And the wind waves 2 to 4 feet, northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight out there, west winds 10 to